afternoon. Welcome to the Henry Ryan Show here on WWPR 1490 AM. Heard every Saturday, 12.05 p.m. till about 1.30 p.m. And this is coming back after a one-week hiatus. Hope you enjoyed the replay of the Charlie Schramm and Joel Greenberg interviews last week. And this week we'll be speaking with Rosa Shores, the co-owner of Block Spaces up in Tampa, the blockchain incubator, about all the exciting things going on there. Well, what happened this week? Here on your weekly roundup of Bitcoin, cryptocurrency, and blockchain news. Well, big news yesterday. Coinbase releases prize announcement Friday afternoon. Five potential coins to be added to the exchange. And the SEC is nearing a decision, possibly as soon as August 16th, on allowing the Chicago Board of Options Exchange to trade a Bitcoin ETF, exchange-traded fund. Also, the U.S. Department of Justice charges 12 Russian officials with cryptocurrency-funded election interference. And Major League Baseball is turning to blockchain to expand its fan base, get back in the groove here, but we'll have people to help us with that. I want to remind you, you can get the show on the podcast platform of your choice, iTunes. Podomatic has the biggest archive. The meetups, whether it be the Sarasota Bitcoin meetup, the Bradenton Bitcoin Cryptocurrency meetup, or Bradenton Blockchain and Business Development meetup, are on hiatus right now. We probably will have some kind of event pulling all three together before Labor Day, and then after Labor Day we expect to be back on the regular schedule. Well, let's not waste any time saying hello again after a couple weeks to the pool of people that we have here in the studio. Well, coming back a week earlier than we expected and glad for it, blockchain CPA Cara Haas. Hey, Cara, how have you been?
I've been great. It's great to be back, Henry. Great to be back early. I promised that I was going to detoxify from Tether.
What does that mean?
I resolved to not read anything about Tether, not chase Tether. When Tether was being printed or something came out in the crypto news about them, I tended to get sucked into reading it and get wrapped up in...
Are you trying to tell the audience you get a little obsessive about things?
Yes. Yes. Yes, I do. Just a little, in case anybody hasn't.
Tethering seems to be a common... There we go. Tethering seems to be a common thing with Cara there.
In regards to cryptocurrency.
And also in the studio. And the co-founder of SeekingCryptos.com, the highly followed TradingView.com columnist, and I understand. Well, first of all, let me say hi, Andy, a.k.a. Goldbug.
Good afternoon there, Henry.
Yeah.
And Kara.
Glad to see you here. Glad to see you after a couple of weeks. And so you got a big announcement, though, I thought.
Absolutely. We're now live with SeekingCryptos.com. I mean, we finally got it to where it's where we feel comfortable with launching it out. So there's still free subscription service, but we do have some premium services as well.
So let's back it up, because both Cara and I are subscribed to this. You really made us work to get subscribed. I hope you don't treat the paying customers that way.
It was painful. It was painful.
Yes, but now we get, I don't know, I think I get three or four emails a day of stuff.
Isn't that I think so, too, and I haven't even been contributing. I promised all these things, and I've done nothing, so Goldbug's been stepping it up and knocking out three and four a day with Mark.
Well, maybe not that many, but, yeah, we definitely get about two out
of
it.
Seems like it's out of
coming
day.
In. Yes, absolutely.
And what about Jillian? Has she been putting stuff on?
Yeah, Jillian has been doing a good job. She's focusing on the Forex and stuff like that, but also writes articles on cryptocurrency.
And you got a stable that you're developing? You have, like, the up-and-comers that you're going to be putting out there?
Absolutely. We got a couple in the works there, and those will be released shortly. So yeah. We'll keep
so, that, so we were getting all this stuff without paying anything, and we're still going to get that.
You're still going to get all the free content in that. There'll be two subscription
levels.
So
what's the next thing?
The premium content, which will be more of a market in-depth analysis, along with actionable.
Yeah.
You know, articles that you can take action on. So, like, Mark posted a great article last night or yesterday on the Bitcoin and, maybe stepping in a buy order down at, 6120, that was it, because I had an order in there, and it came within $1.05 of filling. So stuff like that is more actionable. And then we also have the trading, the trade signals as well, and that'll be very... direct, buy here, sell here,
now,
target.
SeekingCryptos.com is one of your domains. Do you also have SeekingCryptos.net?
Well, that was kind of our test site while we were developing it. We've gone through
two
website developers.
Will they get redirected to you?
Yeah.
Or just stick with SeekingCryptos.com?
Just stick with SeekingCryptos.com.
Okay. I think I got it straight.
Yeah. And thank you, Henry. It's been a journey. It has been a journey.
But even the premium is supremely affordable for what they get.
Absolutely. And we have a deals going on, and if you're a current subscriber, you're going to get an email shortly on a very good deal. So we appreciate all of our long-term, followers that have been following us for months while we've gone through the development.
And if you have a comment, we got some exciting news to me. I got excited when we got the 42-inch monitor here for me to run the radio show on.
I'm looking. I'm like, wow. It's like a whole new... It's like... We're in the 80s now, right? We come up to the 80s?
Right. Well, I think we got the 4-meg Packard Bell.
There we go.
The Commodore 64 is stopping the door in one of the other
rooms.
And
the floppy disk drive now, I see.
The little ones, not those big ones.
Not the big ones. Yeah,
the
little
nice little
disk,
ones that you can stick in your pocket. But back to the 80s is more accurate than you say. We have our old call-in number that was... non-working for 3 or 4 years, so not really back to the 80s, but it's the number from back earlier. Actually, I believe this is the number from when area codes actually became part of telephone numbers, because if you go, this station, it was 50 years old when it moved, so we got to be over 60 years old. It's the oldest radio station in Manatee County. And so it was probably around before they even had a way to call in. But in as early as the 60s, early 60s, I think numbers weren't even 7 digits here. Because I've seen stuff. There's a Facebook page.
Are you talking back when they had the plug-ins and, let me get some Mrs.
My sisters, when I was just real little, and they were 10 years older than me. They were at the high school, and they had a switchboard at the high school that the student volunteers ran. And they did have the plug-in.
Was that job training back then?
The women coming up then, you were shuttled into home ec and typing class, and that pretty much covered your job opportunities.
Hey, I remember home ec class. That was a fun class.
I remember typing class.
Oh, yes.
And, they didn't teach me how to type with my thumbs back then. But anyway, just to wrap this thing up, there's a Facebook page. We will get to crypto soon. And important news about Coinbase and all that other stuff. Rosa Shore is coming up at 12:45. There's a Facebook page if you grew up in Bradenton. And people, put up old pictures. And some of those old ads from the early 60s, they have, 4 or 5 numbers. That's it to the... Now, I know you can go back to old movies and you see, Klondike 555 or something like that.
Yeah, right.
But so I remember... Can you remember your first telephone number?
Yeah, I still can. It was rotary dial.
I can.
Yeah. Remember calling into the radio station, the caller 21, and you're like...
Oh, yeah.
Well, you know how that works, though. Yeah. Caller 1, bye. Caller 7, bye. Caller 15. We got our 21st caller here right now. Well, it was crowded there, so you got to get in fast.
I won tickets to David Bowie doing that one time,
Oh,
I think I may have been the only caller, maybe.
And I'd be so mad when the DJ would talk over the song that you waited so long to tape with your cassette tape recorder. Do you remember that? Maybe that was a girl thing.
I think so.
Yeah.
Did you
No. No.
I went out and bought the album. Well, we couldn't afford to buy the album, so we had the makeshift cassette tape.
Oh, you said you
recorded right off the radio?
Oh, recorded right off the radio. I'm sure I was like Napster of the 80s, I guess.
I guess.
I'm sure I
remember 8-tracks, you know. And those were cool.
I remember Reel to Reels.
I had one.
Welcome to Nostalgia Radio here on WRTR 1490. We'll be spinning the hits for you pretty soon. But back to cryptocurrency. Let's see if I can.
I guess that's a continuation of our 80s.
Gets me to the final thing. So 941, didn't even give the phone number out. I had 20 minutes of discussing it. 941-745-1490. You actually have a call-in number that's easy to remember and is the old call-in number that probably people have been driving around ever since this show started, wishing they could call in and can't remember the other one, which I'm not even going to give out. We're not even supposed to give out the 888 number anymore.
Wow.
We've got a rollover system now, like we used to, the 94. So one number.
And new acoustical tiles in the ceiling. And wow.
941-745-1490. We'll take calls except at 1245 when we'll be talking to Rosa Shores at Block Spaces.
Hey, I've got news for you.
Well, the words came down from on high. Today we are announcing that we're exploring the addition of following assets to Coinbase: Cardano, Basic Attention Token, Stellar Lumens, Zcash, and, is that, Andy, I have to ask you, I'm so unfamiliar with this one. Is it OX or 0X?
I've never heard of it until it came out.
I'd say 0X. I typically have heard it referred to as 0X.
I think you're right, because the three-letter symbol for the two-character cryptocurrency is ZRX, and I wouldn't know where they got the Z otherwise.
Yeah.
But they were making the announcement internally at Coinbase and to the public at the same time to remain transparent with their customers about support for future assets.
Allegedly transparent.
Yeah,
did
I don't
see the spike the day before in some of those.
I
was
looking.
I'm going,
I was so
where
angry.
Where the hell did? You know, there were spikes in the
I didn't see it in Stellar, but that's the only one I really looked at.
Well, I didn't see it in Stellar, but I did see it in Monero and a couple other ones OMG was one of them that spiked, and I'm like, where'd that spike come from? And then the next day they announced this. Now, you know, that's not, you know, obviously it didn't, but maybe they did that on purpose. I don't know.
Well, there were 10-12% spikes on these
after the news, of course. Yeah.
And I thought this morning when I got up, how much higher is Cardano going to go up? Because CNBC spiked it not that long ago, too, but
it's down.
Yeah.
Well, they continued. Unlike the ongoing process of adding Ethereum Classic, which is technically very similar to Ethereum, these assets will require exploratory work, and we cannot guarantee they will be listed for trading. Furthermore, the listing process may result in some of these assets being listed solely for customers to buy and sell without the ability to send or receive using a local wallet. We may also enable certain ways to interact with these assets through our site, such as supporting only deposits and withdrawals from transparent Zcash addresses.
That was interesting, actually.
Agreed. That was shocking.
That was shocking, because I would not have thought they'd do a privacy coin like that, but they disclaimed it. I think you were going to say that.
Well, finally, some of these assets may be offered in other jurisdictions prior to being listed in the U.S.
And I think they mentioned that some of them will only be able to be traded on the exchange. It will not be able to leave the exchange. I think that was one of the little maybe disclaimers in their thing, which what good is that, you know?
Right.
Well,
I'm surprised Dash didn't make that list. That's the one that shocked me.
I agree.
Blows my mind.
It has a pretty low number of coins outstanding compared to other coins.
Yeah.
And anyway, CNBC, which formerly you would have called CN Bitcoin C, is now down to just one segment, really, a day about it. And it's interesting that the Coinbase timing happened right about 15 minutes.
No collaboration there, was there?
Yeah, before CNBC would have told you this on the air.
We've got a Bitcoin alert. Coinbase shocking the crypto universe moments ago by announcing it is exploring the addition of a new new cryptocurrencies to the platform. Seema Modi's got all the details. Hey, Seema.
Hey, Melissa. Coinbase, the largest cryptocurrency exchange, announcing this afternoon that it is exploring the addition of the following assets: Cardano, Basic Attention Token, Stellar, Zcash, and OX. It's worth noting that BAT and OX our initial coin offerings. Now, all five assets moving higher on this announcement. Cardano is up 12%, Basic Attention Token up about 22%, Stellar high 10%, Zcash gaining 15%, and OX soaring 26% intraday, that according to CoinMarketCap. Now, while the digital tokens have not been added yet, Coinbase says it wants to remain transparent with its customers about future support for additional cryptocurrencies beyond what it currently offers on its platform, like Bitcoin, Bitcoin Cash, Ethereum, and Litecoin. Coinbase did emphasize that the rollout of these assets will require additional exploratory work, and it's not guaranteed they will be listed for trading. Still, it's a sign that the industry is starting to see value in other cryptocurrencies and that Coinbase is trying to appeal to investors that are looking to diversify their holdings. And it is a strategy other crypto exchanges like Gemini are also using. Melissa, back to you.
All right, Seema, thank you. Seema Modi. Now, you may be not.
Brian Kelly's expert.
Well, Brian Kelly's just loving it because he's in all those.
Yeah, he says he's long in all these. I don't know.
Well, he was pushing Cardano, pretty hard before the last run up where it was 15 cents, and he said it could go to 30, and it did. Good call by Brian. So how do you argue that? But
blind squirrel gets a nut sometimes too. I said a blind squirrel will find a nut sometimes.
True.
One of the things that they brought up in the clip that I'm not going to bother playing because we can recreate it ourselves here, is Coinbase has this index that they're selling now to qualified investors that have the 200,000 or whatever to invest. And so when do they start acquiring these? Have you think they're sitting in a wallet somewhere at Coinbase? We would have already. What do they have to acquire? How much to move the market? Okay, now the market's already moved, and someone lost profit if they weren't already in them.
These markets are pretty liquid. I mean, from a standpoint of trading volume, I mean they're pretty liquid, and the coins they're mentioning are very liquid. The charts tell everything, and you could see that this was kind of this last pullback, and mentioned it even before I knew about the news, that you could see this last pullback was a little different than the previous pullback from February. It was very volatile. I mean, price action was very, like Bitcoin.
Now, what period of time are you saying? Because when you go back and look,
from the past month,
we're in a relatively narrow trading range.
Exactly. So even the weekly bars are in very narrow trading ranges compared to the initial dip off the highs. And so you could see that, usually that's a sign that money's moving from weaker hands to stronger hands, where there's hands there that are looking to buy into those pullbacks, and we're starting to flatten out right at the previous lows of February and that. So that's actually a very good sign, and it kind of parlayed into all this news with Coinbase, and then the SEC, and there I read an article somewhere that large investors or large institutions are actually adding into this prior to the release of the ETF, and I don't know if that was.
That's in the show prep.
There we go. So I just blew it. That was a big surprise, folks. Sorry, I blew it, Henry.
That's okay. That's called foreshadowing.
Yeah,
right.
Foreshadowing.
You can say that, and then you just say, and stay tuned.
And stay tuned for more. But, this is a time to be accumulating. If you're long-term and you have a long-term thing. Now, some of these coins, Basic Attention Coin, I look at these and I go, really?
I figured that someone had hacked the Crypto Cruise chat group, probably
right.
Mark Zuckerberg, since he owns WhatsApp, and that's where I put it up there. When I was asking what anybody thought about the Brave browser, which is the blockchain browser that Basic Attention Token is the coin for, BAT, and Kara was familiar with it.
Yes. I had used it when it first came out.
Now, what is it?
So the way I understand it, and it's been a while since I looked at the paper and the browser, but the browser, the spirit behind it is rather than just advertisers, like the web browser, Google or Facebook or whoever, the platform that you're on.
Well, of course, it's supposed to be private.
So
there's no such thing as privacy.
Right, there's definitely not.
More private.
I don't think that there's more private.
They claim they don't track your browsing history.
Claiming and doing it, too, you know, as we found out from Snowden, are two different things. But.
So I haven't spent that much time looking at it from a privacy standpoint because I wouldn't opt for that if I needed pure private or to get on dark web or something like that.
What is your preferred service there, Tara?
It's been way too many years. I'd have to go back even to find out the preferred service. Names because
is that for
I'm
transferring
afraid be,
like you know
out,
black
out
accounting
out
papers and you know and stuff like that you know when you're doing this
it's
financial
to find
stuff.
The people who are
okay
but so I wouldn't look at it from a privacy standpoint but what I had looked at it from is your advertising right now if you go search somewhere. If you go to Title Boxing, you're going to get a Title Boxing ad show up on your page or you search for something related material. The content, the way the BAT token is supposed to work is you allocate that to content that you want to see advertising from. That's my understanding.
Now, when you were using it, did you overtly...
I didn't have any, so I just had Brave, and what I noticed, like, I just used the browser, so I didn't have
any.
How
did it work? How did the browser
tokens.
Work?
So it was fast. It was definitely, and that was something that they really touted, was the speed of it. But my issue became with Medium, and my membership, my subscription to the platform, the blogging and article platform Medium, it wouldn't keep me logged in. And
you mean
it,
while you were looking at the site?
Right. Like, any time, at any point. So I would leave the site, and then I would go back to Medium to look at an article.
Would it log you out when you're actually on the site?
Yeah. In fact, it would hardly ever log me in. And then and of course, I never tie Twitter or Facebook or Google to any logins. I have to have a separate login and password for everything. So I would have to go back through, because I'm a little obsessive, right?
How many passwords do you have?
I have no idea. There's no way. Infinity, I guess. Yes. And, of course, I don't have them all in one location. Let me tell you,
hey,
Chad.
Mine is
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Do you remember your first password?
You know.
This is really
I don't. Yeah, I don't
tethering
know what
one.
I do.
I bet
so
it was tethering
I'm a,
one.
That's a good new one to go now that the whole radio world. But let me interject. Can I go on a diversion here?
Sure.
So traveling and preparing for hurricane season now gives, do you have your keys? And where are your keys? A whole new idea or concept besides car keys now with crypto. Like traveling with crypto is, I don't know if you traveled with your crypto, but I had a little bit more preparation this time.
Now, wait a minute.
Am I the only
mean traveling with crypto in an emergency, or you just travel with crypto?
Well, I mean, I...
Well, don't answer yes, because people will start following you around.
Well, they will. That's
and
for
our license
sure,
plate
but,
number is.
Right. So, not necessarily, but even just to be prepared, because I wasn't sure what the market was going to do this week. And it looked quite tempting when I was preparing to go on my untethered... getaway.
I have my my private keys tattooed, you know, where that you'll actually be able to see them in
the
swimsuit issue.
Where the public can't see them?
That's right. It's a private key.
Mm.
But,
okay. So.
That man, you know, who's going to look?
Where do you keep your public keys?
Where everyone else does, right?
I actually remember my first password because I kept using it until they made me add numbers.
Yeah.
Oh, no,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Fine. I mean,
what was your first password?
Don't tell us if you still use it. Don't,
no,
yeah, don't give it up.
But it was six letters, and it was used on Yahoo, so I figured, well, it's everywhere now anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't even
remember mine because it was so long ago, and it was dial-up service.
Right. We better get to
anyway.
So
we better
go back to the
crypto.
So we can reposition ourselves. And get back to what the show is supposed to be about. I don't know what
do
the show is about.
Do we
want to
talk about
anymore.
A couple more of the other tokens?
But anyways,
I mean,
basic
some of the
attention
ones that
tokens. What did impress me with it is the number of users that they have. And with anything like that, user growth, it was like 100 and some million, 150 million.
Mobile downloads.
It was in top 10 in Google. I mean, that was pretty, you know, that was very interesting. So, I mean, it is an attractive from an investment standpoint.
Which browser do you usually use?
Google.
Well, and I'm typically Google Chrome, but I will say, too, for the token itself, I'm attracted to the model. I mean, it's been a while since I looked at the white paper, but I know that their incentive between the advertisers and the users actually had some hope of carrying out, like, the way you can earn it, the way you can spend it, might actually work within an ecosystem. So
you have to spend money. So if I go on and I'm on the Brave browser and I want to be advertised to golf clubs, I actually pay to get that advertising?
I don't know that I could say that with confidence.
So when you were on...
I can think better how it would work. So if you wanted to search for golf clubs, the more that you somehow allocate either your patronizing, if you were to buy a golf club...
Do they have their own search engine?
Yeah. Okay. I'm pretty sure they do. It's on my phone. I can look on the break.
Okay.
Anyway, I do want to pay attention to some of these other points.
That was one of the interesting ones that actually kind of stood out to me was
I constantly use Chrome now, too.
Yeah.
And do you have an iPhone or Android?
I have an iPhone.
Okay. So in there, you're in the Safari.
No, I still use Google.
I like that you can, like, pin favorites. Okay. Like, I could pin my Twitter and things like that. But
she is showing us the screen to her telephone right now.
And it tells you how many trackers are blocked.
It does a great job of tracking ads.
When you've been on there a while, back when you were using it, now, you know, Google keeps feeding you whatever they think you're interested in. But you weren't paying the BAT token for the advertising.
No.
Did you just get random ads that had no correlation to what you were doing?
So I still don't pay attention. And like the crazy that I am without a TV, like, I don't pay attention to the advertising, and I'm typically going direct to a site, and I'm not using it for shopping or purchasing. Like, I'm either going directly to Twitter, or I'm going directly to Medium, or directly to Reddit, that I don't really recall the advertising. So maybe they were doing their job, but the way I understand it is if an advertiser... And I can't speak a lot with confidence on it. I'd have to look more. But if I were to buy something, then some BAT tokens may be allocated to that advertiser. Mm-hmm. And there's probably a ranking.
When I was looking at it a couple days ago, when I put it up for the group to look at, I was thinking, well, maybe that's how we distribute the show. And
there you go.
Before I knew it, I could get the Coinbase pop. Yeah. Not at all. But
the other interesting one was Zcash, and that was interesting, not just from the privacy aspect, but because they had a partnership with J.P. Morgan. And I don't know if people remember that, but they had a partnership with J.P. Morgan at some time.
And
so
they're right. Very.
Well, we're going to go to a break because we have Rosa Shores coming up in about 14, 15 minutes.
Okay.
And we'll find out about Blockspace. But when we come back, we will talk about when the SEC is scheduled to decide if they're going to allow the Bitcoin ETF to be traded on the CBOE. You're listening to The Henry Rain Show. Trying to get into Bitcoin but don't know where to start? Bite Federal ATMs make it easy. Safe, secure, and reliable, a Bite Federal ATM introduces you to cryptocurrency investing with a method you're familiar with at a real physical location. If you've ever used a bank ATM, then you're ready to step up to a Bite Federal ATM and start building your digital assets. Located throughout Florida and Georgia, there's a Bite Federal ATM near you. Go to BiteFederal.com to find a location for you. That's BiteFederal.com, and you'll find a real phone number, a real email, and real people you've heard live on The Henry Rain Show.
There's a new way to experience wellness. Hi, I'm Laura Alcover, owner and operator of Alcover Massage. We're the first business in Bradenton's Village of the Arts to accept cryptocurrency. Whether you use Bitcoin, Bitcoin Cash, Ethereum, or Litecoin, you can now pay for quality massage therapy using cryptocurrency at Alcover Massage. So if you seek medical massage or a relaxing session with light pressure, your session will be conducted by a talented therapist. You'll be glad you booked with us. Check out and like our Facebook page where you can book online in seconds. And remember to tell your friends. Give us a call, 941-592-3187. That's 941-592-3187. Alcover Massage, quality massage therapy in your neighborhood. MA number 50525, MM number 34081.
It's on the way up. It's on the way up. It's on the way up.
Henry Rain Show here on WWPR 1490 AM. Heard every Saturday, 12.05 p.m. to 1.30 p.m. Coming up in about 10 minutes, we'll be speaking with Rosa Shores of Block Spaces, finding out the latest from the Tampa Bay Blockchain Incubator and lots of things going on there, the progress that they've made in just a few short months, although they've lots of groundwork, years of groundwork with meetups on that. Well, speaking of lots of groundwork, by the way, in the studio, blockchain CPA Cara Haas and TradingView columnist and co-founder of SeekingCryptos.com, a.k.a. Andy, also known as Goldbug1. Well, unless you've been living under a rock, you will no doubt heard about August 10th. Well, actually, I hadn't until I read this article. The date the SEC will decide its ruling on the proposed Bitcoin ETF. We have been talking about this for the last several weeks. The initial timeline says on June 26th, the last month, the U.S. Securities and Exchange received an application from the CBOE Global Markets for a Bitcoin exchange-traded Bitcoin license. The CBOE, Chicago Board of Options Exchange, in collaboration with New York-based Van Eck investment firm and blockchain platform SolidX, put forward a proposal to license and list and trade a Bitcoin ETF. Now, previously, the Winklevoss twins, who owned Gemini Cryptocurrency Exchange, back in March of 2017, had a proposal before the SEC that was rejected. Now, there are other proposals outstanding, too, but because this proposal has gotten into the request for comments, most people think this one is more apt to be considered sooner than all these other, I think it's about a half dozen other proposals that I don't know why they haven't gone to the comments stage yet. The SEC is concerned with issues the listing could bring about, like high market volatility and increased liquidity. Two previous applications have been rejected, but still, again, the article does not mention the other ones that are pending. The due date was calculated because the SEC rules say that the decision will be made no less than 45 days from the date of publication in the Federal Register. Although the notice was published on June 26th, the date in the Federal Register is July 2nd. So that means the decision can be no sooner than August 16th. So we're out there just about a month from now. Now, that does not mean you get a decision by August 16th, because they can allow another 45 days for a total of 90 days. So we could be looking out there somewhere around the end of September, possibly, if they decide to go forward. Now, some of the considerations on this, why it may be different than the previous two rejections, the price of Bitcoin since March of 2017, even with all the dips now, is still almost 500% higher than the $1,350 it was back then. Custodial services, so not only Coinbase, which we'll go back to that in just a second, but the Swiss Stock Exchange has partnered with the company whose name escapes me right now, but they have that those vaults in the mountains where they keep their private keys. Not quite as safe as the custodial area that Andy keeps his private keys in, but still very safe and in a higher capacity, I must say, than where Andy keeps his. And regulatory clarity. We have now the unofficial but official announcement by the SEC that Bitcoin and Ethereum are not going to be considered securities. It's the official unofficial announcement. Yeah. It's the one where it would have been pulled back by now, and he probably wouldn't have ever gone out there to say that without having a wink and a nod from SEC chair. And the fact that Bitcoin futures are already trading and have successfully traded for going on close to a year. By the end of the year, it'll be a year. A couple people that are quoting, Andy Hoffman, you know Andy Hoffman, of CryptoGoldCentral.com. When CryptoGoldCentral.com says something, you hear it on the Henry Rain Show within a day or two. Anyway, he says, the buzz seems to suggest it has a chance of being approved. Yeah, bank on that. And
this was suppressing the market so that the larger institutions could accumulate so that they could come out with these products and already have them in secured or into custodial exchanges.
Well, one of the things you and I exchanged, I think it was in the Crypto Crew chat group. Boy, everybody's going to want to be part of that.
I know.
It's very hard to get in.
We have to get our own app.
We've had our first edition in, months.
Yeah, I think he got in because of his looks, but that's just...
Oh, yeah, he definitely did.
Isn't that how we all
his
got in?
His knowledge, too, though. His knowledge. Just to keep me, like, keep my comments G-rated.
Anyway, we're going to be asking you your first phone number again here in a second if we don't wrap this up. Anyway, we're in exchange, and I forget where I read it now. I wish I had it for this show. But Coinbase, I read, already has $20 billion under custody. And in a, $150 billion market cap, that's a big chunk. And supposedly the one in Switzerland is even
bigger.
So you've got a huge part of the market, and then let's add in the ones that have been lost, which probably is like 10% or something.
At least.
There isn't much trading.
So you wonder where
all
those Bitfinex and all them get all their coins, huh? That's always been my question is, do they really have the Bitcoin
to
back it up?
Over there from Mt. Gox.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. How many do they have?
So
what you're saying is there's more Bitcoin being traded than there is actually out in the market.
And we've almost gotten to all the ones that can be produced to be produced.
Getting there.
As far as a percentage goes, it's not much. As a dollar value, it's still quite a bit. So anyway, the point being is, who's holding all this stuff? That's a big chunk of the market, which leads us to something we'll have to pick up on the other side of talking to Rosa Shores, is that a lot of experts are suggesting the institutional investors may already be accumulating Bitcoin, and we'll also be asking Andy, if this shows up in the charts in the next half of the show after Rosa, and because I personally think there's definite manipulation going on when the
Absolutely.
Price gets too high, there's quantities dumped on the market that make no sense if you were trying to get a good price for your currency. Anyway, we will get to all that in just a few minutes. We're going to take a break now. We'll get Rosa Shores of Block Spaces on the line with us to find out what's going on in Tampa. You're listening to the Henry Rain Show.
Hey, this is Brian. I listen to her every week. I really like it. Me and my wife, we just stop our cars every Saturday at 12 o'clock. Make sure we listen to the show. It's great. I'm learning a lot about these cryptocurrencies.
It's the Henry Rain Show here on WWPR 1490 AM. And if you've been listening to the show since we opened up in our long digression, you're going to find us hilarious in the fact that we spent all that time talking about phone numbers and old phone numbers and new phone numbers and how the phones were working. With the new number, not so much. And we're going to have to speak with Rosa Shores of Block Spaces at a future day. We want to apologize to her and also to look forward to speaking to her when we get a chance. And I appreciate the fact she made some time in her very busy day at Block Spaces for us. So we are in the studio with the ever present crew that shows up whenever they want.
I don't know.
We're pretty much Bullfuck and I have been pretty steady.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Ever since you got
the new truck, you know, just helps a lot getting you here.
I don't have a new truck.
What'd you get? SUV?
It 10 days after I bought it in December or November, it was totaled.
Right, but then
you were
shopping at the place down the street, and you couldn't come to an agreement on the truck. And then what are you driving today?
Well, I'm driving the Chevy Equinox.
SUV?
That's not mine. That's my girlfriend's. So, yeah. She's not
that's
happy
a good
about
car.
It.
I'm sure she's not happy about it.
But she's the one that totaled mine, so.
Well, and Cara actually surprising us today because she had the Saturday off and she couldn't stay away. So luckily for me and both of you are here.
I missed everyone. I missed the whole crew. I really did kind of step away for the whole week. But actually, I think I've got some good things that are going to be coming out of my firm in the next month or so. It's going to take me a couple weeks to get it together. Actually looking forward to talking with a few people at Black Spaces because I do need to incorporate and possibly hire some people in the area to bring some.
You're a job creator.
I'm going to be a job creator. Yes, indeed.
I guess what you said about those tax cuts works.
Yeah.
However, in terms of hiring, what I have right now is I know the exact people I have in mind. They just don't know I'm coming for them. So that's how my job creation works. Is that
you
I've
might
already
be surprised
picked them
how
out.
You telegraph who you're coming for. All right. So before the break, if you don't mind me changing the subject off that.
No, you certainly can.
Experts are suggesting institutional investors may be accumulating Bitcoin in anticipation of the Bitcoin ETF that we were talking about just before the break.
Well, you know, you can see it on the charts. It's been very prevalent on the charts. And whenever, you know, people talk about head and shoulder patterns and all that, but one of the signs of large institutions accumulating any asset is at a level you get that head and shoulders, that inverse head and shoulders pattern. And that's what we're seeing with long wicks, which means any type of selling off, long wicks at the bottom, which means any type of selling off is being bought up and it's being absorbed quickly. So, and you've seen that across the board, and Bitcoin Cash actually has had some nice, in Bitcoin in general. So this is really kind of forming, and if you look at the pattern overall, it's really forming a rounded bottom.
Bottom comes around.
That's right. So, you know, you've got to grab it when it comes, you know, when you see a rounded bottom, that's how it is.
All right. Well, so you've been noticing this between, between about 6,900 and 6,200?
This whole way, yeah. I mean, even the whole pullback right here has been, it's been very different, like I said, than the original pullback where you're not seeing these large volatilities. Selling is being absorbed by the market, and it's showing in a very low volatility. Even though that it's continuing down, it's being absorbed by the market. And now we're at this low, which even it dipped down to 5,700 recently. That was very quickly, very short, and it was bought up quick. So you end up with these long tails, and with these long tails are a sign, especially on the weekly. If you look at the weekly, it's very clear. The candlestick pattern, yeah. You get the long tails with the short with the body,
and the top part is long. There's
tweezers. Well, the bottom, yeah, either you have the wicks going up or the wicks.
Well, since we have time, let's have the people, let's say an unsharpened pencil. People probably can still remember what those are.
Draw a square box, and then you draw a tail on it, right from the middle, just go up or down.
And the top is a wick and the bottom is a tail.
They're both, no, they're just wicks. It depends.
They have a wick on the bottom
of
your candle?
You know, it depends what you're talking about, candlesticks or wicks.
I call them candles.
Wicks on both ends?
Yeah, I do wick on both ends. Yeah,
it's called a spinning top. So, but no, you can see it definitely is prevalent in the price action during this pullback. So
okay, well let's go back to the primer here for these people since I got you starting on. All right, so whatever you call it, wicks on both ends, burning the candle on both ends. When the top wick is long, and most of the body's at the bottom, what does that mean?
Depends on where it's located. They call that a pin bar. Often they call that a pin bar. It results in a pin bar. So whenever you see a pin bar, which would be a solid body and a wick to the downside, if it comes at a resistance level after a pullback, that is more indicative of the market than just seeing it anywhere in a space. So you have to take where the market where the market is in perspective. So at a top, and we've seen, you know, they abandon babies and stuff like that, but if you're at a peak and you're at a high point using Fibonacci extensions or retrace levels, if you're at an extension level, which would be resistance, and you see the formation of a wick to the upside, so it has a body down below and a wick pointing up, then that's a signal that the market is weakening and looking to reverse. Now, it doesn't necessarily have a reverse, but there's a high probability that it will reverse there. What we're seeing is at a very extreme support level right now, around the 6,000 level, we're seeing those wicks to the bottom, which is indicative of any price that's pulling below that is being bought up quickly. And so that's the market is absorbing the selling into this level, which is often a preclude to a move to the upside once the selling is exhausted because you're seeing people buy in. And then once it starts to get to certain levels, people start taking note, oh, I'm missing out. And then that's where you start to see these patterns form, and these patterns form because of the price movement and because larger institutions, they form because of the money flow. They don't just form out of midair and you go, oh, there's a head and shoulders, we're going to go down, or there's an inverse head and shoulders. It has to be at the specific level, actually, is
so
more
when
important.
We look, just say, back the last 6 weeks, and the price comes up to about 6,900, and then it just can't break through. And then it comes back down, and it hits, one time it got as low as like 5,800 or so,
yeah,
but basically it comes
yeah.
down to the 6,000 level, 6,100, 6,200, and then comes back up. Would it be a reasonable hypothesis that, because when we see it hit the 6,800, it drops fast. All this volume comes in to sell. That if there's tens and tens of billions of dollars already in institutional hands, and they still are going to be looking to acquire, that when it gets to a certain level, they will dump a small fraction of their holdings into the market to cause it to come back down to the level they want to accumulate at.
Absolutely. A lot of times they do margin fishing and stuff like that. So they're looking.
What's that?
Well, you're out there fishing for margins, and there's actually software they developed to do this for large institutional traders.
Now, you're not talking about margin trading. You're talking about something else.
I'm talking about margin fishing, yes, where let's say you're trading you're trading Forex, and you see it in the commodities a lot. And since Bitcoin's a commodity, it tends to be something that would be done here. And it's even more relevant, more prevalent that it could be done here because in those markets, you cannot see the margins where people have their stop losses in. In these, because these exchanges are not regulated, the exchanges can see where people have their stop losses set in. So what a large investor would do is they would calculate how much of a move do I need to do to push the price through these stops? How much do I have to spend to push them through the stops to buy the stock lower then? And obviously, if I'm selling up here and I push through the stops and I buy it down 10% down, that's actually you're making money. So they actually look to do that. And if they can use the margins or they can use margins, obviously, a lot easier than most of us can to push it through those stops. And they actually push right into the level that they want to buy.
Now, considering there's probably a more concentrated market than, say, the market for Apple or something like that.
Yeah, it'd be hard to do an Apple.
Right. But there still would be a hard time holding all the people with big holdings together to act in unison. They'd have to have a common interest to do this. So does that, does that mean when it comes down to 6,100, people don't hold off because they can't collude to come down to like 5,500. There's just too much self-interest. They come in to start buying.
Absolutely. I mean, well, that's where other institutions come in. They're not colluding together. It doesn't seem.
No, of course not.
You know, they're not all colluding together.
That's what I mean.
There's too many of them to collude together, and they're pushing it down into a place where they want to buy. The fact that we hit the 57.
But there's a group think, I bet, that goes.
Oh, on. I'm sure. And even if you look at these exchanges. I mean, they're not regulated, and they have, that's why I say don't put stop losses in, because a lot of times you can get pushed through your stop loss, the stop loss triggers, and then the move happens anyways. So, you know, very seldom do I put in a stop loss, but there's a risk to that when, you know, you're trading at night and you're sleeping, and we've all had those moments. You wake up the next morning and you're like, crap. But
don't sleep longer than 10 minutes at a time.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you have some alarms set. I've slept through a couple, but... Anyways, my dog woke me up. What the hell's going on with your phone? So, the fact that when we hit that 5,700 Bitcoin, it just didn't fall apart. It actually pulled back up and is starting to consolidate in a narrow channel. It's telling you this is a good support level to be accumulating. And actually, I'm probably going to add here, you know, to my Bitcoin holdings. I've added some to the Litecoin holdings and actually bought some Litecoin with Bitcoin. But I'm actually looking at adding Bitcoin here as long as it, you know.
Well, if the ETF gets approved, I mean.
Yeah. But even the news on that didn't move the market. I mean,
what news are you talking about?
The news that of them filing for an ETF. It's coming. I mean, eventually the ETF's going to come.
No, I'm saying that an approval, I mean, it's...
Yeah, I mean, an approval will work.
Be like
I think that's what we're seeing this base of formation is if people, a lot of people have given up on it. I don't know how many calls I've had. I think I just want to sell everything, get out of the market.
Those are the retail investors.
The retail investors. And they're always wrong. They're wrong on the high side, and they're wrong on the bottom side. And I know... You know, even when I bought at 13,000, I still hold those positions. You know, I'm not perfect by any means. You can never time the market perfectly. But, you know, I'm just holding them. Why would I sell? You know, people are like, why won't you sell at 8,000? Well, you don't know that we're going to 6,000 when we're at 8. And you can sit there and you try and say, you know, when is it going to exhaust? Nobody knows. But if you're a long-term investor, you hold through this pain because you haven't lost any money till you sell. And you know, if you have faith in this space, like I do, and I know you guys do, it'll come back.
Well, I think it's reasonable, from what we've gone from the when the filing dates and all, that we're going to have an answer one way or the other by the end of September. And I would say that if the answer is negative, you are going to see a lot of downward pressure on the price. And if you see a positive, you're going to see even more upward pressure on the price.
Yeah, I mean,
so.
Eventually, the ETF is going to happen, and even if it's based on the futures contracts, and it trade like the VIX or something like that, where it's based on nothing, but you know there will be ETFs to the market, and I think that the best chance of it is CBOE. But Winklevoss really didn't have the banking connections the CBOE does. I mean, the Winklevoss, they don't have those.
Well,
I mean, they
had Van Eck. Capital has a lot of
that. Exactly. So you're looking at some of the big guys coming in, and believe me, J.P. Morgan, Goldman Sachs, they said, hey, listen, we need time to get organized so that we're in at the bottom.
Let me quote someone who I've just been waiting all these last 15 minutes just to say this quote. Even more than CryptoGoldFund.com, CryptoGoldCentral.com, you really got to listen. When Hjorter Justinussen, I think I did that pretty well that time.
I'm impressed. I would believe whatever is coming out of your mouth next.
The financial analyst at Syndicator, with a C, said the possibility.
What? Wait, say that again. Syndicator with a C?
Yes, like CINDICATOR.
What algorithms have you been using to get news?
Let me see my source here. This is from BLOKT.com news.
BLOKT?
Yeah, I'm finding all these new sources. I mean, I can only
if they can't spell it correctly, I mean, I don't know if that's a valid news source.
Asia,
yeah.
All right,
but
let's go back to this.
What's the story? Let's hear the story.
You know, I can only mine CoinDesk and Cointelegraph much where I have to start looking elsewhere.
That is true. I'll give you that.
So getting back to the expert opinion of Hjorter Justinussen, the financial analyst at Syndicator, he said there's definitely a possibility that the institutional investors are getting involved. Quote, investors would likely to keep, and you can tell that Hjorter, English is not his first language by the syntax here. Investors would likely to keep quiet in the accumulation phase, which is now. Coinbase has insurance for all digital currencies held, covering physical security, cybersecurity, and employee theft. Also, less than 2% is held in online storage at any given time. They charge a $100,000 setup fee and a minimum $10 million investment and 10 basis points in monthly fees. The question is then, how much will a possible ETF by CBOE charge compared to this? So I guess what he's pointing out is your management fees have to include not just the management, but the Coinbase fees and all like that.
So go back to that. So he's saying that you have to have $10 million to minimum invest into this ETF? Is that what he's saying?
Yeah.
Into the CBOE?
No, to use Coinbase custody.
Oh, to use Coinbase custody.
That's how it's not surprising that if they have it, that 20 billion, you know, because 10 million here, 10 million there, you know, pretty soon you're at a billion.
Yeah.
You know how that is.
Absolutely, yeah.
Anyway, the
just take away a few, three, four zeros there.
Let me quote someone else here. Heather Haba, as partner at. Are you ticklish or something, Candy? You're laughing.
And we're definitely not laughing at your pronunciation. You're doing a remarkable job.
It certainly is.
I mean, Tom Lee, he's Asian, right? He has a pretty good English name, Tom Lee. I mean, if I was to say, oh, Tom Lee, you would not think that he was of Asian descent.
Agreed.
You know?
I did not.
What nationality, out of curiosity, not that I'm racist, right? I'm just wondering, where is he coming from?
I would guess Planner Haba
is
probably Central Asian.
So or
India South
or
Asian.
Or something like that, okay.
Southwest Asian.
Yeah.
I mean, in my travels, that's what I found. Anyway, she's a partner at Andra Capital, a new group.
How do they
fund,
spell that?
A-N-D-R-A.
All right, I'm starting to feel the credibility coming forward.
Yeah,
a little bit of conventional.
Well, let me get to the second part of the sentence, and I may fade on
okay.
you. a new growth fund that's democratizing the venture capital space. Yeah, that's
okay.
the hook.
Yeah. Well, you know, there might be a language barrier there.
It's better than
yeah.
disrupting.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, Hatter says it's best interest in the investors to keep quiet. And I didn't even read far enough to get this other one. Yeah, you really have to listen to this show if you want the world view. Because Herman
okay.
Yeah. Finnbjørnson. CEO
of Norwegian.
Yeah, there we go.
Fintech. That's probably why they sell Block, BLOKT.
Probably.
Yeah. All right. We've milked this enough. Let's look at some of the things that are actually going on to support this. We have the fact that OKCoin, the big Chinese that then became a Hong Kong, I believe, exchange when China banned the cryptocurrency exchange, has opened up a U.S. branch, and they are actually accepting fiat deposits via wire transfer to participate in that. Now, Huobi has also opened up
that's
their...
That's going to be a big one.
And I believe they're... Are they open yet?
They're not open. They have a...
Officially?
I think they have a office
opened.
In San Francisco. Do they have... But I don't know if they have a platform that's trading yet.
I believe they're at least accepting...
As much as I'm happy to get the Packard Bell in the studio, I don't want to try and open up another window. try just searching HBUS.
I know that they were accepting deposits, and they were enticing people to
deposit. So we have two big Asian operations that have launched here in the U.S. Circle, which is the venture capital company that Goldman Sachs backs, that bought Poloniex, has now launched a mobile app, although it'll only work on your iPhone. All you can do on an Android is check the prices. Square Cash, which allows you to buy Bitcoin on the Square platform, is growing three times faster than PayPal's version.
Does it? Square? Square allows you to do Bitcoin?
Yeah. I mean, there might be some states you can't do it in, but I believe they got their New York license.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so, Huobi is trading. Started July 10th, I believe.
That you have to bring transfer crypto, and it's crypto to crypto. But OKCoin is actually fiat. And, and their limits are actually higher than Kraken and Coinbase as far as how much you can put in initially on a transfer. They allow a $50,000 transfer right in on a level 2 know your customer, which is gets a little inside baseball here, but is not that much.
And there definitely is know your customer on Huobi. You can't just even though it's transfer fiat in, I believe you have to go through level 2 verification. Yeah,
I was looking at their advice and it was like, use English on the forms. So I guess they're assuming an Asian demand on all this. So anyway, Square Cash is growing. We have Circles, so bringing a phone app forward. I've got a clip from SoFi. Have you heard of that company?
Vaguely. Yeah.
It's another one of these fintech companies that are coming out.
Trying to change banking or something.
To bank the unbanked. I'll play that in a second. But basically, they started out getting their customer base by refinancing student loans. And, you know. That's easy enough.
And a good call on
Well, it's a shrinking market for them because now as interest rates are coming up, they're pretty much, there isn't an advantage for a lot of people to
refinance.
But the interesting thing about SoFi, because they targeted people with $100,000 of college loan debt, they wind up getting usually people that were studying law, studying medicine. So their customer base is
a couple art major degrees.
You know, a highly valued target. Let me go ahead and we'll go to that clip here. I believe his name is Anthony Noto. He is the CEO, and as you're going to hear on this, he was the chief financial officer for the NFL, which naturally makes him credible for this. He was also chief operating officer of Twitter, and this was him on CNBC.
I'm joined now by Anthony Noto, CEO of SoFi, and before that, COO of Twitter, before that, CFO of Twitter, and before that, you ran media and technology banking at Goldman Sachs, and before that, you were an analyst for this year's conference. Now, over to your job running SoFi. You've only been there 4 months, but you've been very busy. Now there are reports that you're looking to raise about $500 million. What would you do with that kind of capital?
You know, I'd like to elevate it a little bit higher. Our goal is to help people get their money right, which means we should be the only place they need to go to work with their money. And so we want people to go to the SoFi app on their phone every day. People want to borrow money, they want to save money, invest money, they have to spend money, and they want to protect money. And our goal is to fill out that complete assortment and do that better than anyone else. The product that we just recently announced in beta to the public is SoFi Money. It's a modern take on the checking account. It's interest-bearing checking, ATMs, debits, the ability to do person-to-person payments, the ability to deposit a check into your phone, and it's one piece of the important puzzle, and we'll look to add other pieces.
And so what would be the next type of piece? What's the next type of product that you're missing?
Beyond SoFi Money and this modern take on a bank account, we're going to go after the brokerage business. We do have a product today that's SoFi Wealth, where you can invest money in a model portfolio, but we think there's an opportunity to add even more selection, and so we're going to add individual stock buying in addition to crypto purchases. And we'll continue to add things like ETFs and maybe at one point some SoFi branded ETFs.
Interesting. And crypto coming when?
It's likely not until 2019. We'd like to get there faster, and we think there's a lot of opportunity to serve our member base holistically so they can come to us every day and need to go no other place to get their money right. But I would plan on 2019.
All right. So now we have another player in the field that where you're going to do all your I hesitate to call it banking, but what we used to call banking from your phone, whether it's your manage your loans, your financial portfolio, your crypto now. So this is coming into the market. We already have Square Pay, which and we're
Square
not even,
Pay is a whole different thing. But I do that now with my bank. I mean, what's the difference?
Well,
I get
I'm
a loan.
Tell you what
I
the
do
difference
it.
Is because you are of a different. You know, even though you're younger than me and a Generation Xer as opposed to a baby boomer, you're still old. And you are beyond the age of the millennials. Some of us can pass for millennials here, but you and I can't.
No.
And where they want to do everything from their phone. Now, I can do a lot from my phone, because Bank of America ties into Merrill Lynch, so I can do the more traditional stuff, but I can't do... Actually, I can do peer-to-peer on Bank of America now, but it's a separate entity that's doing it for them. But you have Square Pay, which does all these things, and Square allows a direct deposit of your checking, of your paycheck into that. That's the key right there. When your paycheck goes into these apps, why they don't have the same cost structure of a Bank of America or a BB&T or some of these others. So you already have this whole playing field of new competitors. Now you have SoFi going into it. You have Square. You have Circle that is integrating all this. You have Robinhood with no fees. Tell Merrill Lynch not to charge you any fees.
But how are you making money on that?
With the margins, with margin trading.
Margin trading.
As opposed to the margin fishing that you were talking about. your margin interest rate when you buy on margin.
Okay. So, using people,
I mean, they're making money on that. That's they're going to be their full.
So automated. I don't know. Maybe my analysis is wrong on that, but I'm thinking that the things that you used to have fees for have become so automated that the cost is negligible, so that to get those customers, you'll give those services so that you can do the margin lending, so that you can do that. And, you know, the person that has the Square Pay, when they open their business, maybe they do their business loans through Square, or they're going to use Square. You know, they're trying to put you into golden handcuffs.
I do see the argument for that coming, that it is just entice you with the free or the giveaways on the front end and the setup for the golden handcuffs.
Yeah, and the fact that all of them are incorporating crypto into the platform.
For you younger investors out there, you should be debt. The biggest thing you should be doing is getting rid of your debt. Period. Other than, you know, maybe a house.
Other than
your mortgage.
That.
Except for my crypto, of course.
Listen to Henry when it comes to that.
Yeah, I mean, if you have credit card debt and you're trading on margin accounts and you don't have the cash to cover that, let me just tell you, you are setting yourself up for failure.
Unless it was March of 2017, and then you had a tremendous business decision on your part.
You know, but you should be.
Still, I argue against that. It goes back to, and I'm going to touch on it if we have time, willing and able. And that's after you take care of your. You shouldn't be refinancing student debt so that you can buy crypto.
You definitely should not
be doing that.
There was just to get a lower interest rate on as far as right. the origination of SoFi was that when there was a bigger difference between old student loans and the current interest rates. But I am saying you can't deny that if back in February 2017 when you saw Bitcoin go over 1,000 and you decided I'm maxing out my credit cards, I got 20,000, I'm getting 20 Bitcoins, and if you cashed out in December.
Yeah. And let me tell you, that's exactly how the 1929 Great Depression and stock market came. Everybody was borrowing money to invest in the stocks, and you're seeing this, you know, every recession we've had is you can say, oh, that was because they borrowed too much money to margin and or they borrowed too much money for houses and the housing mortgage. Debt is always the cause of a recession, and then the government has to print more money to cover that debt. And if you're not debt free,
the lack of ability to pay the debt is the cause.
But you already knew that we
that's
were going to plan money for
that's
you,
the
right?
That's the catalyst. Eventually, it comes. You know, I mean, if you're a younger investor out there, and I know we have a lot,
I'm not recommending this for anybody, but I'm just saying that, you know, there are some people that we probably know that if they cash out in December,
absolutely.
They were putting themselves in a position that very few people ever get to start their early life with.
Yeah, well, a lot of those that cashed out, and even those that, you know, were Bitcoin billionaires and, you know, are now hurting right
now. They're going to be VH1 Behind the Music people. Yeah. I mean, we're going to – please tell me that you guys have seen those.
Well, you mean the show?
Like the show, Behind the Music.
And that's
they're
where the
always,
old rockers
like,
are dying.
Down on their luck. I mean, they had millions and they blew it. So I can't think of a better parallel.
The rocker lifestyle might have a little bit to do with that, too.
Well, so there was that as well. But, I mean, it goes with celebrity and get – I don't want to say
goes
necessarily.
With easy money.
Easy money. Thank you. I mean, it all comes together.
Yeah, there's no such thing as equality in that. You're either destined to have money in life or you're destined to not. That's why, what do they say, 70 or 80% of lottery winners, major lottery winners, are broke within a few years.
Exact same thing as that.
Yeah.
And not knowing good money management.
If you don't have good money management, you're never going to make it through life. So if you're a young investor out there, you're just a young person, get out of debt. That should be your key focus right now, is make sure you don't have a car payment. Make sure you don't have, because those things will prevent you from getting to the next level.
We're in the money.
We got a lot of money just to get along. We're in the money.
on me.
That's what y'all are talking about.
Rains, it rains. Pennies from heaven. Don't you know it's clock and change?
Pennies from heaven.
That's why I come back.
Out of the sky.
And they're talking about Duran Duran.
What's up with Piper Coin, by the way?
So it's some brilliant stuff. I don't know if you guys caught this, and I don't think I shared it, but talking about the SEC commentary on the ETFs. So Pied Piper commented on it.
Let me introduce this correctly.
Oh, sure. Talking
trouble. There's a trouble.
So you ready for my Pied Piper? My Pied Piper update. His tweets are just hysterical. But
the important thing is, how much is it trading for now?
Oh, mercy, I didn't look. We'll look at that at the end. I think it's around 15 or 16 cents, maybe. I'm guessing.
But it's down from like 40 cents, isn't it?
I'll just do the... Oh, yeah, it's definitely down. But... So while I'm reading this, you have plenty of time to look up what it's trading for. We're such good compliments to each other.
CoinMarketCap listed yet.
They don't, but you can find it. I can find it for you after this.
Okay.
I think it's on CoinGecko.
You can find it while we're rambling.
CoinGecko. But Pied Piper put in a comment on the SEC ETF in the name of IC Wiener.
Is that sweet?
Can I
too?
Read it? I only pick things.
Is
that
there a laptop and emails involved or something?
You don't pronounce it with a native accent.
I turned up. You cannot expect me to turn up with accents and impersonations. I have lots of blind point per coin update. So, anyway, let me read this tweet, because the comment.
Sounds German, actually.
From IC Wiener.
IC Wiener?
IC Wiener?
Ah, come on. Okay, all right. Go ahead.
I'm not buying that. Yeah, you got to. That's why I have all of you. We support the integration of the Bitcoin ETF to build a space society capable of propelling mankind forward to the atomic age. We believe the Pied Pipers of the SEC will make the dreams of the cult of crypto a reality. We stand ready to invest all of our fiat, valuable or not, into this ETF. We promise to be completely responsible. Pretty please make this legal with a cherry on top.
Did they get all that in 280 characters?
It was commentary on the SEC ETF exposure draft, right?
So what is UFS, your commentary on the SEC?
I don't have any commentary on the SEC.
All right. As somebody who reads commentary on things, I found it intriguing. You want more Pied Piper?
No, I want your commentary on the FCC. Have you submitted a comment yet?
No, I appreciate people with good... I'm not an expert on ETF and on trading. That's why I listen to the show and listen to Andy. I rely on him for that. Instead, I'm looking more at fundamentals and long-term. I mean, you're talking to a girl who maybe invested $10 in this whole space.
Yeah, but when they see how
your
blockchain CPA has commented... That carries a lot of weight.
Let me just tell you, is $10 my butt?
No, you do not. No, 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 no.
And next thing,
no, 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 no. Off the air. No, no, no. That doesn't. I only buy like one share of something as an experiment to see how something works.
I'll send you 30 ether and go ahead and get me some of that.
Do not believe everything on the show again.
Lose your place?
I did lose my place. Now I know how it feels, Henry. I fell for you. So he's got this crypto cops thing going on, too. The Pied Piper's hiring. He's looking for partnerships and strategic alliances with the crypto cops. I mean, I might close my firm and go work for the Pied Piper. And busting up some of these people who either call him a scam or that are doing the crazy scams.
Do you have an Instagram account? Not that I'm...
Oh, my gosh. Seriously, have you stalked me already on Instagram?
No.
I just got a lesson on it this morning from one of my new developers. Hi, Derek, if you're listening. I just revived my Instagram this morning, but that's why I thought you were asking me.
No, because I was thinking monetized.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Me?
You could be an influencer, yeah.
So you're a market shaker. A mover.
You two sort that out for me. Just let me finally get to the point where I can publish something.
You don't want us staging your Instagram shoots.
No.
Yes. No, I don't. Is that all I can put on there?
I tell you, until cryptos came around, I did not have a Twitter account. I didn't even know what WhatsApp was or all these other signals. And I was like, wow, there's a lot of dark web stuff out there.
There is some, but I've been away from it. Obviously, I can't even recall the website.
I stopped on Facebook. I don't post too much personal stuff anymore.
Oh, I'm definitely not a Facebooker if I can help it. Unless it's for the show.
Yeah.
If it's for the good of the show, I'll get back in.
Where do you find my cute animal videos if you don't go to my Facebook page?
You find them all for me, and you send them to me, so I don't need any more cute animal photos. Do you want to digress, or do we have time for, like, serious investor talk? Or
yes, absolutely.
Like,
okay.
Mm. 2.5 minutes, go.
So the main thing I just want to touch on, and I've stepped away from writing, but to continue Andy's thoughts on the willing and able, with money, you should only be investing money that you are not only willing but also able to lose. So you still may be able to lose some money, but if you can't sleep well at night, you're not willing to lose
that. What if you're willing
that?
And able to lose your parents' money?
Then that's a different thing.
You need to see somebody else.
That's just fruition. Let's go call it Darwinism of economics.
Don't let us interrupt you.
But go ahead.
I'm going to lose that place again. I'm going to see if I can do it from the top of my head. But I want to carry that over to many of us have willing and able for time, and many of us have been involved in the space now for about a year, and a lot of these projects had about a year-long roadmap of when they were coming to fruition, and a lot of the holders out there that they need to sit down and take a look. Do they have things that they bought 8 months ago, 6 or 8 months ago, or people just getting in the market now to look at what these tokens involve? Are you required to vote in order to keep your token active? Does it provide some kind of passive income like gas? If it's like NEO or ONT or Cardano, what wallet do you need? You really should not be keeping it on an exchange. And most of these coins do have wallets that are either hot or cold that support it. And then you also have to look at, do they have a mainnet? A lot of them had a mainnet launch or switching from NEO to their own or switching from Ethereum to their own. And you have to take a look at what's involved with the token. Because something I asked Goldbug, I think, one day briefly in passing when ONT was about to come to market, and I think it happened with EOS, if some of the tokens are stuck on the exchanges that weren't registered and they kind of get caught in a gap, are you putting yourself at risk of buying tokens that may not transfer?
It sounds like the better idea is just get the SeekingCryptos.com subscription and just do whatever they say.
Yeah, you know, I tell you, I'm not.
That sounds like a lot of work.
I'm not a big, you know, when I first got in the space, I have to admit, I was caught up in all the, oh, this is going to change the world. I almost said it on the air. And then I realized, and speaking with probably the most knowledgeable man, one of the smartest men I've ever met, Leonard, he's like a philosopher. Him and Lee are like, not only intelligent, but they're like the philosophers of crypto. And instead of giving you the answer, they ask you more questions. And one of the things that Leonard really kind of instilled into me is, well, most of this can be done already with a database. And so if I look at some of this and I go, if it can already be done with a database,
you shouldn't be investing in it.
What are you investing into it for?
I think of them as Nick Fury and Tony Stark of crypto.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right. Yeah.
Lee's Nick Fury.
Lee's, so I need a translator. I need a Greek philosopher translator for some of his texts. But regardless, there's a lot of these tokens that are just going to be come by the wayside.
For sure.
What do you need to have a token for money transfer for?
Yeah. You said it.
You know, but anyway.
We're going to have to leave what do you need for a token for later.
Yeah.
Well, I guess for a writing.
Was trouble. All right. I cut you off there with the audio. Was there a last word you wanted to get in there?
Well, no. I guess I'll have to write that up. But that's the point is that you have to be engaged. You can't just hodl and let them sit. You can't just buy and let them sit. You need to figure out if it involves action on your part.
Well, we didn't get to the Major League Baseball collectibles on the blockchain story.
But that's really interesting.
Yeah, it'll still be good next week, I think.
Yeah, that's absolutely.
And what's coming up on SeekingCryptos.com this week?
We launched a new membership, and like I said, it's one of the reasons we haven't been posting so much is because we've been taking so much time to develop the website. After two developers, we said, screw it, we're just going to do it ourselves. So Mark and I bogged down and went through it. And I want to say thank you to Leonard and Andre and the guys over there at Byte Federal for helping us get through the final hurdles of coding and that. And so anyone, go on there and sign up for the free subscription. If you want to get a little bit more information and stuff, you can go for the premium or the trade. And then we also have the Quant Geeks Trade Signals, which was a partnership we did with Quant Geeks. With Leonard and Andre and them for their trading bot, their day trading bot. So if you're a day trader.
Maybe that's the first time we've mentioned this on air.
That's right. So it's brand new. But if you're into day trading, you can go on there and you get a discount if you buy that trading bot.
Is that crypto trading or all different trading?
It's just for crypto trading. It's for day traders and it's, intended to.
Can I just, give them my credit card and then they'll trade the crypto for me?
You can do that. There's an API there on upon request. Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Oh, that sounds great. What could go wrong?
Nothing.
Cara, anything you wanted to leave the audience with?
Oh, I don't think that there's anything at this point. You've covered it all.
All right. And hopefully we'll find the rest of the crew by next week and get them working after
I think it wants to thing. I miss Augie this week. I mean,
I'll record that for him. And we'll be back next week with another Henry Anthony.
People got me questioning.